Bauhiri Baunga here at his New Zealand, has started up a Rainbow List project. It's a project that is looking for and seeking to recognise sites of significance to Aotearoa New Zealand's queer communities. The person behind the project, one of the significant people, is Karen Pollock, and she's on the line now. Kia ora, Karen.
Kia ora, Brian. How are you?
I'm very well. Tell me a bit more about Well, actually, didn't this idea come out of a walk? Am I right? Is the information I received correct?
Yes, you are right, although it wasn't me who went on the walk initially. I should be historically accurate. It was my colleague, Megan Katz. But yes, she went on one of the great walks that Gareth Watkins does in Wellington. And that's really place-based. And so it was very clear to her straight away that there were some good synergies with what we do with the New Zealand Heritage List, which is what we look after. And that, you know, we should get on this bandwagon, so to speak, as well, and start recognising our queer people and communities on our heritage list. And so that's what the Rainbow List project is all about.
Now, Gareth Watkins is a former RNZ engineer and producer, and he's a great archivist involved with archives for Pride NZ. So I knew about his knowledge of history. I didn't know so much about his knowledge of geography, but that doesn't surprise me. But you're not just looking. I mean, one of the things about one of the assumptions that I might make now, and I'm wanting you to slap it down if I'm wrong, is that this might be a mainly urban thing. But is it a completely urban thing, the Rainbow Project?
Well, no, it's not. I mean, it's fair to say that it's much easier to find places, you know, buildings, sites, monuments, whatever, all sorts of places in urban areas, because that's where communities of queer people tend to congregate, you know. So if you're thinking about places like Auckland and Wellington, there's heaps of places there that are important for this project. But, you know, queer people are everywhere, and they were everywhere, and definitely there were queer people down on the farm, in the small towns, in the back blocks, you know. So we are definitely not confining ourselves to the cities. We want to go all over the country.
Tell me, Karen, how are you going about this project?
Well, what we've done, first of all, is doing a lot of research ourselves, because there is a great body of, you know, and a growing body of historical literature on queer Aotearoa New Zealand. You know, I mean, the kind of work that Gareth has done is amazing. He's a total legend. Just shout out to him. But also the likes of Chris Brickle, Alison Laurie, and various other historians have really laid the groundwork. And so the first thing we did was to do a literature review, and that yielded a lot of places. But really, for us, it's important that we hear about the places that are important to communities out there. And so we are just putting the word out. We want to hear about the places that are important to our queer communities, people out there. And so that's why we're doing this sort of work now, and why I'm on your show.
If something gets on the Rainbow List, what does that mean?
Well, the Rainbow List is not separate to what's called the New Zealand Heritage List. We have one list for the whole country. It's our national statutory record of historic places. So in a way, the Rainbow List project is just a name for this project. But what it means is that if a place goes on the list, the heritage list, it's recognised as having significance for all sorts of reasons. There are many sort of reasons why a place can be called heritage. It doesn't mean that it's protected from development or demolition or change or anything like that. That's a common misunderstanding of our heritage list. It doesn't protect anything. It just recognises something of heritage value. You know, it kind of puts the word out there that, hey, this place is really important and these are the reasons why. And so for the Rainbow Project, what I would really love to get are nominations for new entries on our heritage list where the queer history and significance is really important.
And that could be from anywhere in the country. Maybe you're looking for those places beyond our main centres.
Absolutely. I mean, I know for a fact that there are places in Whanganui that are associated with the Mayor Charles Mackay. Paul Diamond's, your ex-colleague, has done a lot of work on him. You know, that's a really sad story. He became infamous, really, as the first person in this country in the early 20s to be outed as gay. And he shot his blackmailer, and you know, basically his life was ruined from that point onwards. But there are buildings that are associated with him. One example is the Sargent Gallery, which we already have on our heritage list. And what happened there was that after this furore occurred, his name was removed from the foundation stone of the gallery. His name was removed from streets. It's basically like he was expunged from the historical record because at the time he was deemed to have committed such a terrible crime, not only shooting someone, but being gay. And then in the mid-80s, around 1985, I think it was, local Whanganui gay activists managed to get his name put back on the foundation stone. But our list entry for the Sargent Gallery doesn't talk about that. And so one of the things that we can do with this project is we can look at places that are already on our heritage list that have a queer story that hasn't been told, and then we can remedy that. And so the Sargent is one of many places like that that we are, we're going to include in our Rainbow List project.
It's as much the story, in fact, it's more the story than the building or whatever it might be, isn't it?
It really is. You know, to me, heritage is all about the stories that places can tell. It's place-based history. So it's not about a building frozen in time, you know, or a monument or anything like that. To me, and I think to a lot of my colleagues in heritage, it's the stories, the human stories and the memories that places can tell. And so, you know, for something like the Sargent Gallery and other places associated with Charles Mackay, they are ways that we can tell really important stories about New Zealand history, about, you know, when homosexuality was criminalised, which was until 1985. And that's what makes it so interesting.
That's the thing, Kieran. A lot of people in the rainbow communities of New Zealand, until recently, especially if they are outside the big towns, had to do so in a clandestine way often, or felt compelled to. So there may well be stories out there that haven't been told, or maybe almost forgotten because they haven't been told for years now.
That's undoubtedly the case, Brian. And, you know, that does make researching queer history very tricky for historians, because, you know, not only are you researching a topic that was, you know, socially unacceptable, so to speak, but it was also illegal. You know, male homosexuality was what was illegal, but essentially it's the same for women and others, you know. And so, of course, you're going to have to do a lot of digging. You've got to do a lot of reading between the lines. And it can be very difficult and sometimes impossible to find very clear evidence to say this person was queer. Like, for instance, Alexander Turnbull, Heritage New Zealand's property, Turnbull House, was built by him. It's a very well-known building in Wellington. And he is certainly someone whose sexuality is discussed by historians. You know, he never married. He was a real dandy. There are all these sorts of clues, but we don't have his diaries. We have no evidence that says, you know, we can comfortably say that he was a gay man. And so we're sort of left with saying, well, you know, these are the circumstances of his life. It seems possible he lived what we would think of as a gay life, even though that word was only just coming into, you know, common parlance in his day. And that's such a common story, you know, so it's really difficult to find the evidence. But I know those stories are out there, and it's a dream of mine to uncover something new about queer history in this country through this project. That would be amazing. But we would definitely have to have enough evidence to say that this is probably a rainbow story.
Are there stories from tangata whenua about really strong queer relationships? I'm speaking here from a position of ignorance, I acknowledge, but there's a bell that tells me that pre-missionary times there was not such a taboo among Māori about homosexuality. Then the Christians arrived and things changed a little bit. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, you're totally right. You're not at all ignorant, Brian. That's quite true. Researchers like Ngahuia Te Awe Kotoku have done some amazing work to uncover, Māori sexuality prior to colonisation. And the evidence does seem very clear that, yes, sexuality amongst Māori was diverse, and it's only with colonisation and the coming of the missionaries that changes, And so you've got stories like, we all know the story of Tutanikai and Hinemoa, that romantic heterosexual love
story.
Yes,
the flute, and the wafting across Lake Rotorua to the island, or vice versa.
Yeah, that's right. But there's really strong evidence that, in fact, Tutanikai had a male lover called Tiki. He called his hua Takatapui, which is an intimate companion of the same sex. That was a story that was recorded, and it was in fact that word Takatapui was recorded in a Māori dictionary made by the missionary William Williams in 1844. And there's also carvings on in boxes that are now in museums. And of course, there's waiata and all the stories. So definitely, sexuality in Aotearoa New Zealand was diverse before colonisation. And so it would be great if we could find a way through the Rainbow List project to tell some of those stories as well. And I'm working with Elizabeth Kirikiri, the Green Party MP, on that. She's done an amazing PhD thesis on Takatapui identity. So it's very exciting because that's unique. There other heritage organisations across the world have done queer history projects, so we're by no means the first. But nothing like this has really been done in New Zealand, and definitely Takatapui identity is truly unique, and it would be amazing if we could find some place-based heritage to tell those stories.
Now, and some, particularly before homosexuality was decriminalised in New Zealand, it was an underground activity, and often was in the loo activity. Public toilets were places people went to meet, and not necessarily just to have sex. And I'm wondering if you're going to look at some of those as well, because they are, some people might think this is a bit sordid, but, that's kind of part of the story as well, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, you're so right. I mean, I've been amazed at how diverted I've been by public toilets, because they were places where men would meet for sex. There were sex on-site places. And history is, we're a warts and all kind of organisation. We're not just telling pretty or polite stories. And even though queer history is more than about sex, that's a big part of it. So definitely there's a lot of evidence of public toilets being used by men. It is a male thing predominantly for sex, because there was nowhere else they could do it, especially in smaller towns and rural areas where there wasn't a known community or safety in numbers. You just went down to your local toilet. Of course, other people knew that too, and so toilets were not always a safe place to go.
No.
On the side of queer bashings, there's plenty of evidence of that. But for men to live their true authentic selves, I guess it was worth the risk. I do know of some toilets that could potentially have heritage value. There's one in Auckland in, I can't remember the name of the park, it's on Ponsonby Road. There's a toilet there built about 1906. And I've been talking with an artist, Sean Thomas McGill, who's done a lot of work on this. And so we are, you know, collaborating together, and maybe that's something that could be nominated for our Rainbow Project. I would love to get a toilet on the list. That would be very exciting.
Well, some of them, I know one of the big meeting places in Wellington was near where the old library, now the Art Gallery, is central, the Civic Gallery. No more. But that's the thing. Quite a few things, not just toilets, but buildings. I mean, some of the pubs and cafes that people like Carmen ran, they're not there anymore. They were demolished.
I know. This makes me really sad. You know, this is a problem in heritage anyway. And we can look at places and sites, but ideally, we're going to have a building or something to look at, something tangible that's helpful. It's not a deal breaker, but it's helpful. And I'm glad you raised Carmen, because she's one of the first, I guess, queer figures that we were able to include in this project. Thanks to Gareth's walk, we discovered that a very pleasant but, you know, pretty ordinary Edwardian building in Wellington's Cuba Street was actually the site of her shop called Carmen's Curios in the 70s. And she was really well known for her love of what, you know, curiosities or curios. And she talked about the shop in her autobiography. And so that place was already on our list, but we didn't have anything written about it. And so we were able to write a little summary that talked about this building and also its link to Carmen. And unfortunately, that's almost the only building left standing that's still associated with her. Her famous coffee lounge was demolished a long time ago. Her nightclub was on the site of the Wellington Central Library, which is listed, but that's not associated with her. Even she had a brothel in Haitaitai, and that was demolished a few years ago to make way for townhouses. So this little shop at the top of the Cuba Street is almost the only building left. Well, in Wellington anyway, there might be others in Tamaranui, for instance, where she was born, but that's the only building left. And so it's really exciting that we had that on the list already and that we could tell Carmen's story through that place, because she's a very, very important figure in the history of queer New Zealand.
Kieran, it's been great talking with you. Now, I think it's important, if you want to get information in, you need to get the word out. So if people are listening right now, and they could be listening all over the world, how to get in touch with you?
Yes, please do. I would just love to hear people's ideas. So you can email me at rainbow@heritage.org.nz. Or just go to the Heritage New Zealand website or Google Rainbow List Project and you'll find all the contact details and we can go from there.
Thanks for your time, Kieran.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Brian.
It's a pleasure. That's Kieran Pollock, Senior Heritage Listing Advisor with Bohere Taonga Heritage New Zealand, talking about the Rainbow List Project.